Well, welcome to Press TV's news analysis coming to you from Tehran. I'm Marzieh Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, how can the ones who have destroyed Iraq, Afghanistan, and other countries be the saviors and liberators of the Libyan people? This is according to activists in London talking to Press TV, who have added that the new so-called coalition of the willing must be viewed with suspicion and caution. This as reports say that French planes have attacked their first targets in Libya, and U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has said the U.S. is to deploy unique capabilities in Libya.
It didn't take long for forces loyal to embattled Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi to take control of the cities held by the revolutionaries and move eastward to the opposition's chief remaining stronghold, Benghazi. Opposition forces have been forced back neighborhood by neighborhood and town by town over the past 2 weeks, while world powers have been showing reluctance to establish a no-fly zone over Libya, which could prevent Gaddafi forces from launching air attacks against civilians. In the absence of a decisive U.S. leadership, European states have so far been unable to stand united and intervene on the other side of the Mediterranean, leaving Gaddafi free to unleash a bloody counter-offensive. On Thursday, the United Nations Security Council passed a resolution authorizing all necessary measures to protect civilians in Libya. But many say even if a no-fly zone is established, it won't be enough to prevent a ground assault on Benghazi. Some European countries have joined France and Britain in threatening Gaddafi with a military attack, but some others have preferred to either remain silent or clearly support his regime. Germany is reluctant to use force. Chancellor Angela Merkel's center-right coalition is keen to avoid scaring voters before a key regional election on March 27. Italy has vast investments in Libya, is heavily dependent on its oil and gas, and had close ties before the revolution. Many fear the West's hesitation to act to stop the killing of Libyan civilians could provide Gaddafi with an opportunity to kill those of the revolutionary forces who are against the coming to power of a puppet regime in Libya, if Gaddafi was to be forced out at the end of the day.
Well, I'd like to welcome my guests to the program from London, the chairman of Libya Watch, Mr. Mohammed Abdulmalik. From Beirut, former Interior Minister, Mr. Bechara Merhaj. And from Washington, Professor of International Law, Dr. Sayed Ali Wasif. Thank you all for being with us. I'd like to start off in London with Mr. Abdulmalik. Now it seems that the no-fly zone has been implemented in Libya. Will it make a difference? And I want to look at the reasons that you think that the Western powers have gotten involved in this.
Yes, I think it will make a difference. We would have loved to have seen the Arab countries and the Muslim countries take the initiative and enforce this fly zone. But the reality is that the Arab countries are so divided amongst themselves. They themselves fear an uprising within their own countries. They are so weak that they are unable to act on such a scale. I'm afraid so are the Islamic countries. The only option left was the West. And the West has a moral obligation to save the onslaught on the Libyan people. If Colonel Gaddafi did not use such an extensive force, maybe the West would have turned a blind eye. But the extent of the people who are being murdered and killed meant that the West cannot just stand by and do nothing.
Let me just ask you, Mr. Abdulmalik, what you've just said. You said they have a moral obligation, and basically they cannot just watch people die, but we know, and throughout recent history in many different countries, that the West and other countries as well have sat down and basically not reacted. First of all, let's look at Bosnia and so many other countries. So what makes this time different? Have they taken the higher moral ground this time around? How do you see it?
Well, I don't see the West as one body. I see it made up of different bodies. There is the non-governmental organizations. There are the people. There's the media. There's the decision maker and the governments. And the people in the West, I work with a lot of non-governmental organizations, human rights organizations, civil organizations, and they are all in favor of the Libyan people. They are surprised by the amount of brutality that is being used, and the decision makers, the government, cannot ignore the demand of its own people. There is a demand from the people, and maybe that is what is making the Western governments react the way they do.
Okay.
And of course, there is the
Let me turn to Beirut. I want to give everyone an equal opportunity to speak on this issue. Former Interior Minister Beshara Merhaj, how do you see it? do you think that the West right now, the way that they're reacting and have responded, as far as trying to implement the no-fly zone, is it because, as our guest said, in London, because of the pressure from their own people in these countries, because of all the violence that is taking place in Libya, or do you see it in another way?
I think this is one factor. There is a real pressure from the people of the Western world that the governments should act against Mr. Qaddafi. Second factor, I think, is that Qaddafi embarrassed his allies, his Western allies, his commercial, financial allies, because he went too far in his crimes against humanity, against the people of Libya. He is using brutal force against the people, against the women and children, and everybody is ashamed of him in the Western world, and governments felt that they have to do something, otherwise they would be criticized severely by the people, and they would be in a very awkward position. That's why they acted. And third factor, I think, is that they are keen about their interests, about their oil and gas interests in Libya and other minerals. And all these factors will come together to make all this fuss, which was not needed, basically, if the Western world did not support Qaddafi and gave him all this time to inflict injuries on the people of Libya. And so that they will have ample time to prepare themselves for the right moment. We are against international intervention in the affairs of people and the internal affairs of countries. But I think now the United Nations should be very careful in making sure that no intervention will be in the interest of any country. It should be in the interest of the Libyan people and only the Libyan people, and the peace that the Libyan people should feel in a few days.
Okay, let me turn to Washington and Dr. Wasif. Now, Dr. Wasif, a quote from the Secretary General of Hezbollah, Said Hassan Nasrallah, and he said basically that the West gave enough time to give the Libyan regime enough time to crush the revolutionaries. What's your take on that statement?
Well, yes, he is partly correct. I do agree with him. But the problem is you have to see the background of the Western philosophy, the background of the Western national interest. So that's why they were waiting for a credible opposition. So now that they have witnessed that the opposition is really credible and it is working, and they have gained some cities, they have gained some success there. So now they are supporting them. So first of all, they just wanted to see whether the opposition was real and potent and strong. So now that they have witnessed, that's why they took so long. First, the second is, as I said before, and I have been saying that, instead of providing a force of the Security Council members, I'm talking about in terms of the no-fly zone regime. No-fly regime should have been, as I have said before, should have been made of or constituted by the non-Arab Muslim countries. And I'm taking advantage of the reference to context with this kind of intervention or no-fly zones by those statements given by during the mid-90s by the former U.S. President Bill Clinton and a former United Nations Secretary General Boutros Ghali. Both of them were of the view that in case of such an incident or in case of such a situation, the neighboring countries or the countries or the stakeholders should be taken into conference and should be engaged. So I think, as I said before, the Muslim countries of non-Arab origin like Pakistan, Iran, Turkey, Bangladesh, Indonesia, they should have been invited for a no-fly zone regime and not the Western powers.
Okay, let me turn to London. Now, Mr. Abdul Malik, there have been, Mr. David Cameron was asked about the protection of civilian losses as far as being able to limit civilian losses, if that had been implemented, if any type of contingency plans had been thought about when they wanted to implement this no-fly zone, and basically nothing was said. Let's look at that aspect of it. Now, supposedly these governments are involved to protect the civilians on the ground, but what about the reality? Do you think that as this escalates and with the bombings escalating, that more civilian lives won't be lost, and that if there are no contingency plans implemented, that it could also be very devastating for the Libyan people?
I think if Colonel Gaddafi is left to do what he wants to do by himself without being stopped, the atrocities will be much worse. I think Gaddafi would not stop at killing 100,000, even 200,000 Libyan lives with no shame and no regret and no mercy at all. Colonel Gaddafi is so vicious, and he uses a brutal force beyond belief that this intervention is a necessity. There is no way to stop him using his air force except through a no-fly zone. However, I do believe that even without the no-fly zone, the Libyan people eventually would topple and get rid of Colonel Gaddafi. But bear in mind also that Colonel Gaddafi is using foreign help. He's using mercenaries, specifically from the Balkans, Serbians who have participated in the murder of atrocities in Bosnia. He's using mercenaries from Arab countries. He's using other European mercenaries and mercenaries from Africa. He's using PR companies and experts that are helping him. And that's why he's been able to achieve what he has achieved, even though I believe that he had plenty of time to do it in, but failed to achieve the objectives within the time that the West would have accepted. I think he took too long to reach Benghazi. He to date, he has not been able to take Misrata, and therefore the intervention is imminent, and force from aircraft, from Western aircraft, We have information that the French have already taken out a few tanks on the ground, and they will continue to do more. As long as Colonel Gaddafi threatens the cities of Benghazi and Misrata and other cities, the West will take him out on the ground.
Let me ask you a question, Mr. Abdelmalek.
To finish the job.
Okay. Mr. Abdelmalek, you said that the West will take him out and will finish the job. What's the difference between Libya and Yemen and Bahrain? We know that the West, well, the UN now has implemented this no-fly zone. What about Yemen, where many, many people are being killed every day? What about Bahrain, where there are foreign forces involved? As you said, that Gaddafi has mercenaries. Directly, governments have sent foreign troops involved. What's the difference?
Well, the difference is that the escalation of atrocities committed in Libya is high. So much have happened in so few days. Gaddafi resorted to anti-aircraft machine gun against his people from day one. Gaddafi used snipers from day one. Gaddafi started using his aircraft against his people from a few days into the uprising. All these things have not been used by the Yemeni government as yet. As yet, the casualties, even though they are, we're totally against this, but the fact remains that the number of casualties in Yemen is nothing near Libya. In Libya, we're talking about thousands, in fact, tens of thousands of people being killed. We're talking about tens of thousands of people being arrested and detained and taken to unknown places. The crimes that Gaddafi has committed by taking corpses out of hospitals, by actually digging graves, fresh graves, and taking the corpses out of these graves for his own purpose.
Okay.
These crimes, no one has committed yet.
Okay, let me turn to Beirut and get Mr. Mirhaj back in on this. Do you see a difference between the same question I'm posing to you as far as the situation is happening in Yemen and Bahrain? What is the difference? What's the deciding line, basically, when the international community should act, react, and when they should not?
Well, I think there is no one criteria for permitting international intervention in internal affairs, and a difference from one country to another. But basically, we in the Arab world, we are against international intervention or outside intervention in our affairs.
So what would you have liked to have seen happen?
In the case of Gaddafi, they have supported him, basically. They have given him all the things he needed, weapons, money, contacts, international relations, so on and so forth. And when he became very fierce against his people, they became very sensitive about this, because this was playing against their interests. They could have taken many steps concerning finance, concerning weaponry, concerning mercenaries. They could have stopped mercenaries inflow to Libya, coming from Africa, coming from Europe, coming from America. He has all kinds of experts, and they all came, and everybody knows about this in the international community. And they have done nothing about this, and they have left him, and they have delayed every step possible till he became near Benghazi. And this was a very, very critical situation, because in such a situation, everybody will lose except the murderer, except the merciless dictator. And that's why they moved. They did not move because they like the people of... I'm not talking now about the people of Europe, the people of Canada or England or France. I know that the people there, they have good feelings towards the Libyans. But I'm talking those interest groups who are formulating the policies and who are taking the decisions. And why didn't they take the decisions before the massacres inflicted upon the Libyan people? Now we have thousands and thousands of victims and martyrs on Libyan soil. And now they are going, they are trying to bribe us with these actions they are taking. Anyway, I think the United Nations should be in control so that none of the member countries will seize opportunity and will form things to its interest.
Okay.
As for other...
Well, let me get yes. Dr. Wassef in on this because we're running out
yes.
of time very rapidly.
Yes, yes.
Dr. Wassef, okay. How do you see this at this point in time? With now outside entities being involved, do you see an escalation, or actually do you think that it's going to help suppress Gaddafi faster? Or tell me the scenario that you see at this point in time.
Well, I think... as far as Libya is concerned, Gaddafi's days are numbered. So I'm seeing an escalation, and there's going to be a kind of a victory for the opposition forces, but it will take some time. As far as Bahrain and Saudi Arabia and Yemen are concerned, I see double standards on behalf of the Western community, on behalf of the United Nations, on behalf of the international community, and on behalf of the Arab states and the OIC, double standards. When it comes to Libya or other countries, they apply some sanctions, they apply some no-fly zone. They try to stop and impede the regime. But when it comes to Bahrain and Saudi Arabia, which are in flagrant violations of international legal norms, international human rights norms, international humanitarian norms, Geneva Conventions, they are in violation of the Convention Against Torture. You know, the Saudi troops, they fired upon a doctor, they fired at the hospitals there. These are total flagrant, these are in violation of the Geneva Conventions.
It's
protocol, additional
very little
protocol.
Time, so, very little time, Dr. Wassef. Why do you think that there is a double standard there?
Because of the national interests of the corporate Western interests and the American interests. And let me warn the American advisors here in Washington, D.C., that they are giving basically an opportunity to the extremists, and which will in turn, you know, establish their government and exile both from Saudi Arabia and both from Bahrain and different countries, and in that case they will have a legal cover under international law, and they will fight back. This time it's going to be an armed uprising. So I would suggest to the United Nations Security Council members and the United States advisors and President Obama to heed the requests of the people of Saudi Arabia's eastern province and Saudi Arabia in general, and the people of Bahrain, and get rid of this oppressive regimes of Saudi Arabia and Bahrain. And
okay.
I think other than that, the extremists will take part in that.
All right.
And it's going to be an armed uprising.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank all my guests. From London, Chairman of Libya Watch, Mr. Mohammed Abdul Malik. From Beirut, former Interior Minister, Mr. Beshara Merhaj. And from Washington, Professor of International Law, Dr. Sayed Ali Wassef. And as always, viewers, we thank you for joining us for another top story here at the Press TV's News Analysis. Join us same time, same place tomorrow as we look in detail at another top story. Well, I'm Marzia Hashimi signing out for myself and all the crew here at Press TV Central. Thank you so much, and goodbye.